So we are continuing on. We're actually wrapping up, focusing on justification by faith alone, and entering into a discussion on the sacraments. Whenever you're debating someone or discussing things, one of the things that is of great importance is definition of terms. Many times you can get into a conflict with somebody else because you assume that the word has a particular meaning and they have a different understanding what that word means. And so at least you should start with, okay, we agree that this word means this, this word means that, so then we can discuss. Or at least if not, we debate the meaning of that word. So one of the things that I find interesting as we enter into looking at the sacraments is that there are some in the Christian community that when they refer to the Lord's Supper or when they refer to baptism, they call them ordinances. They don't refer to them as sacraments, but as ordinances. And that definition, sacrament or ordinance, affects the understanding of what they are. So we speak about sacraments, and the definition is there in question 66. We need to keep that in mind. The other thing to remember is when this particular teaching tool, this catechism, was written, the intent was to train the people that were the farmers and the mothers and the kids in what is the faith. Because the problem, again, was that whatever the prince of the land was, you were religiously. So if you were under a Roman Catholic prince, then you were Roman Catholic. If you were under a Lutheran prince, you were Lutheran. If you were under a Roman, a Reformed prince, then you were Reformed. And the problem was is that when one prince would die and the next one would come in, they were different religions. So all of a sudden you went from one to the other to the other, and you didn't know what, you basically said, I don't know what to believe. And so you just kind of lived your life. And so when Frederick III became the prince over this realm there in Heidelberg and the surrounding area, he said, I want my people to know what they believe. I want them to know what the Bible teaches. And so you have this catechism. And so as such, there are statements where we're entering into the sacraments that are going to be statements that say, we are not Roman Catholic, we are not Lutheran. And so there are going to be little statements that are actually made to make that point. And I'll point out a few of them in how we understand what God has given to us. So question, Lord's Day 25. Again, we just worked through justification by faith alone. And so then the question is, well, where does these benefits by faith alone come from? Where does this faith come from? Is faith just naturally there and all you have to do is exercise it? Or is faith a gift from God? And we would argue the latter. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then also, although it's not quoted there, in our passage, or in 2 Thessalonians, it actually says at one point, not all have faith. We're talking saving faith. Now, all men may believe certain things, but as we understand, just because you believe in unicorns doesn't make unicorns real, or pink elephants don't become real because you believe in pink elephants. And faith is not just a leap in the dark. Faith is based upon the truth. Faith, it has an object. Saving faith is a faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, or as it says in the Catechism, by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, by the preaching of the Word of God. If you read the context of Romans 10, it's talking about preaching the Gospel. But notice what it says, The Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the gospel and grants unto us new life, and with that new life comes the ability to believe, to trust, to rely on, to walk with God. Furthermore, God gives us something to encourage and confirm our faith, and that is the holy sacraments, as it says. The Holy Ghost works faith in our heart by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the holy sacraments. We refer to them as a means of grace, means through which God has given to us to strengthen us. So question number 66, a great definition. If someone were to ask you, when you think of baptism, when you think of the Lord's Supper, what do you think those things are? And the answer is, they're sacraments. Okay? They're not ordinances. What's the difference? An ordinance is something you do. A sacrament is what God does. That's a big difference, isn't it? Baptism is not about what you do, but what God does. The Lord's Supper, the primary focus is what Christ has done, not you and what you're doing. Even though you take and you eat and you remember and you examine yourself, there are things that you're called to do there. But even there, the focus is on what Christ has done for us. Baptism focuses on what Christ has done for us. You get the difference. And so the sacraments are visible, holy, set-apart signs. What does a sign do? It points to something else. The sacraments, the water, the bread, the wine, point to Christ and His sacrifice, pointing the sign, and furthermore, a seal, which God has appointed for this purpose, this end, that by their use He may more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. So though we take of the Lord's Supper, it is He that uses that to strengthen our faith. We understand that the Lord's Supper and baptism are means whereby God grants us grace. Notice it says, that of free grace He grants to us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life for the sake of the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. So again, pointing back to Jesus, pointing back to the cross, pointing back to what Jesus has done. Notice that statement, the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. What are they opposing there? The continual sacrifice of Christ every day and every week in the Mass. Hebrews says that He suffered once for all. His blood was shed once for all. We don't need to sacrifice Christ every day or every week. That would be to say that His death on the cross was insufficient then. We need it over and over and over again. So, the one sacrifice of Christ, which He has accomplished on the cross. And so, the sacraments, in a sense, point back to what Christ has done. So, that's the definition. That's how we understand baptism and the Lord's Supper. Notice question 67. Are both the Word and sacraments designed to direct our faith to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? And the answer is yes. You hear that? The Holy Ghost teaches in the gospel and assures us by the holy sacraments that our whole salvation stands in the one sacrifice of Christ made for us on the cross. That point is so important that you hear it hammered again and again in the catechism. We are saved by Christ. Christ has accomplished already what we need. And then the question is, how many sacraments has Christ, notice that, has Christ instituted in the New Testament? The answer is Christ instituted two, baptism, holy baptism, and the Holy Supper. There are not seven sacraments, there are only two. Okay, so again, coming against the error of Rome.